is the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets, you jack wagons! Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir Nathaniel Lundy, and Merry March Madness. See, with yours is indeed another edition of the Fade 5 Podcast. And where are we heading, Lundy? We're going to the wild, wild west, and breaking down that region. Some of my favorite plays. We're going to get to the Fade 5 countdown here momentarily, but first and foremost, let's hop aboard the Honk Honk Plus Bus. What is your favorite wager plus 100 odds or greater? And I will say this, the caveat here is you got to take somebody to emerge from this region. So where are you second to Greenbacks?
I'm actually going to take advantage of the value right now on the Tar Heels, Brad. I'm going to go with North Carolina to come out of that region and make the Final Four. I think it's insane that that's 3-1 at BetMGM right now. To give you an idea, folks, over at DK, that's down at plus 230. But like, if you look at DK right now, for example, Arizona is plus 190. Arizona is the favorite if you look at the odds makers, and I don't see that with the Wildcats, not with where their draw is. And I think even if stuff plays out and we get all the way to the Elite Eight and the two teams that are standing are the Tar Heels and the Wildcats, I think UNC has a more favorable matchup. I think they've got the right players. I think they have the ability to take care of the Wildcats, even if it does go chalky and you wind up with one versus two in this particular region, which I know you're not even convinced is going to happen. We can talk about that in a minute. Yeah. But to me, there is value right now on the fact that UNC is sitting at 3-1 to be able to make it to the Final Four. That to me is insane. I was totally surprised when I saw this coming out of the gate, getting ready. There were a bunch of lines. I was at full disclosure, Brad, last night, I'm sitting there hitting refresh constantly when the bracket was coming out because I wanted to see what the lines were the moment that they got posted. And I took advantage of a couple before they got steamed. Ooh. I will tell you that right now that I took advantage of. So I'm happy with some of those that I got. But this one, even as we sit here recording on Monday, going region by region here with the Fade 5, I'm shocked that this number is at 3-1.
Yeah, I did not have that luxury of jumping on some early lines because I was lost in work world. I was typing, I was hosting chats, I was doing interviews. It sucked because all I wanted to do was pull up my various, DraftKings app, my BetMGM app, my ESPN bet app, and just figure out where the value lied. I had no stinking time! If only I were you, and I would be a hell of a lot more handsome. You know, I would have great hair. My Final Four pick from the Wild Wild West is Baylor. I'm going to go with the Bears at plus 800. I think best value on the board there at BetMGM. I don't think chalk is going to remotely reign supreme in this very wide open region, in my estimation. Yeah, North Carolina is playing at a high level, but you saw they're vulnerable. They lost NC State in the ACC tournament, had an offensive outage in that game. They're playing great defense. They got a lot of veteran leadership there. Armando Bacot, RJ Davis, they got some peripheral players that can absolutely get it done there, especially in Harrison Ingram. But I do worry about some of the downsides with that team. Baylor is a team that has warts, too. They're far from perfect. I could say that. Let me give you all the nitty-gritty. I've already done the research on the Bears. They're a team, number 20 in Bar Turbic over last month, playing at a slower pace this year than historically what they have shown. Just kind of a middling, number 157 in EFG offense, number 273 in EFG defense. Turnovers have been a problem for them as well. Again, they have problems, but they have talent and a lot of it. Jacoby Walter is a guy that could absolutely light up the scoreboard. Ray J. Dennis is one of the best point guards, not only in the Big 12, but I think in the Midwestern part of the country. And it's all about guard play. Excellent on the glass as well. They got Missy there. There's a guy could really get after it. Offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding. They get to the line, they make you pay. If they can galvanize and come together, knowing their draw, I think Arizona is going to get ousted. I'll have more on that early in this tournament, a little bit later on the pod. I think Baylor will get by either New Mexico or Clemson. I think Baylor, assuming they played, even if they played Arizona in the Sweet 16, could beat them. They could beat North Carolina and represent this region in Glendale, Arizona in the Final Four. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wacky. It's going to be woolly. The Wild Wild West certainly applies and I'm applying 8-1 odds for Scott Drew's team to make it to the Mecca of college basketball. With those bets on the board, let's get after it with another edition of the Fade Five.
Number five.
All right, Numero Cinco here, the All-Western Region edition of the Countdown. I'm going to zero in on a total right now that opened at 132.5. I saw it as little as 130.5, and now it's settling the middle of tape time. And I still like the under on all those numbers. Grand Canyon St. Mary's, at number sitting at 131.5, at a minus 110 juice there at BetMGM. A very low possession game is going to be the MO for St. Mary's. That's how they play. They're number 359 last month at adjusted tempo. Grand Canyon don't really speed up either. They like to live in the half court. They're a team this season that is well north of number 250 in adjusted tempo. Both outstanding defensive clubs. In fact, Grand Canyon much higher than St. Mary's in EFGD. St. Mary's hovering and teetering on the top 100 or last 30 days. So Grand Canyon at number 9 in that category. Limited opponents is just 44% inside the arc, under 30% outside of it. This is going to be a grinded out, slow jam. Crank the Key Sway. Crank the Jodeci. Hell, crank the Silk for all you 90s R&B fans out there in attendance. You're going to be bumping and grinding like crazy to try to get through this sucker in a game that might be first to 58 wins. Pull it all together under GCU. St. Mary's 131.5 at a -110 juice at BetMGM. Lundy, fade or follow?
Right out of the gate, we're fading you. We're fading you.
What?
We're fading you right out of the gate. First of all, for those of you trying to figure out exactly where this game exists, we literally not only are starting in the West region, Brad is kicking off today's podcast with the last game of the first round. This is the late night tip off on Friday night. So if you're trying to figure out where this game is, or you're scrolling, since most of the books list everything chronologically, you got to go all the way to the bottom to be able to find this one. Here's why I think you're going to be snake bitten on this one, Brad. Grand Canyon, you know what Grand Canyon can do as well and better than the vast majority of the 68
scenic
fields?
Youth.
No.
Oh.
Free throws.
Oh.
They are a phenomenal free throw shooting team. And because of that, if it comes down to it down the stretch, or there's anything like that, or we get guys into foul trouble, even the end of the first half, whatever, I think they are actually going to just barely creep over this number. Mm-hmm. I believe this is one that you go ahead. I know that it's moved. I think this is one that you take advantage of the movement and you actually go with the over. I think we're going to see some free throws. I'm calling it right now. I think the total is going to sit at like 134. I think you're just barely going to miss on this one, brother. I think it's going to come down to free throws, and I'm going to say that you are incorrect. And despite your expectation of the tortoise-like pace,
it will be.
We are still going to beat this number.
Lopes, Gales, do me a solid. Lay some bricks at the line. I need the under.
Number four.
Numero Cuatro here on the Fade Five Countdown, All West Region edition of this year's NCAA tournament. Let's go with a team that is a borderline blue blood of sorts there in Michigan State. Will it be a Sparty Party or is it going to be Sparty Farty? I say it's going to be more of the stinky variety. Give me the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. I have a degree from there for crying out loud at +1.5. This available at DraftKings at a -110. So why am I fading Tom Izzo? I might be sick in the head. It is March, but I don't trust Michigan State, nor should you. They're number 60 in Bartover Girl last 30 days, playing at a very slow pace, very methodical, number 322 in adjusted tempo over that stretch. But here's the town side, and it's puke-inducing. Number 312 in EFG offense in their last 10 games, shooting 44.2% inside the arc. That's it. Shooting better from outside, but still at 33.6%, just rather mid. Number 172 in EFGD, done a very mediocre job shackling the perimeter. Mississippi State, meanwhile, number 25 in Bartorik over the last 30 days, also playing at a pretty slow pace. Number 218 adjusted tempo. But you look at their EFG offense, number 53% is what they're shooting inside the arc, 36% outside of it. That's good for number 89 EFG, number 185 and EFGD over that span, at 52.9% allowed and 32% allowed. Michigan State don't have the size. They don't have the athletes in the post really to compete with Talu Smith and the length and athleticism Mississippi State. They just got dudes. Does Jans, and you know, I know Malik Hall is playing at a better level. I know Walker can take over games, a guy that's a very suitable guard there for the Spartans. I just don't trust them. They have not excited me in any way, shape, or form here down the stretch. Mississippi State had a nice little resurgence in the SEC tournament. Maybe they carry that momentum over. And they really just check all the boxes in the paper matchups. So putting that all together, give me the Bulldogs, roof, plus 1.5 against Michigan State, minus 110 at DraftKings. Lundy, are you going to be a brand name follower, fade, or follow?
No, I'm following on this one, and there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, I like what I've seen out of Mississippi State, especially down the stretch. Reason number two, Michigan State did not beat a single NCAA tournament team outside the state of Michigan this year.
Interesting.
Not a single NCAA tournament opponent outside of the state of Michigan.
So they beat Oakland.
They beat Oakland. They beat them there? They beat them outside Michigan?
No, Oakland is in Michigan. Did they play Oakland?
Did they?
I don't know.
Because that's outside. I'm just giving you the stats from what I have been.
Oh, you're saying outside the state of Michigan, not inside the state of Michigan.
They did not beat a single NCAA tournament team outside of their home state. I worry about them going on the road. Part of the going on the road, folks, this region is in Charlotte. Charlotte is closer to Mississippi than it is to Michigan. I'm no geography major, but I'm pretty sure about that one if I were to draw some circles on a map. I think there's going to be Bulldog fans there. I think Mississippi State is going to do it. I also am going to enact something that has been popular on the podcast here over the last week and a half. Give me Mississippi State on the money line plus 100. Screw the point and a half. Okay. I'll take them on the money line at plus 100. I believe it actually opened at plus 110, but I didn't get it until it was at even money. But I will take Mississippi State straight up. Last thing I'll point out, I know they were talking about, you know, Izzo when he's a lower seed and all of that. The last three times he's been a lower seed, he's only won once. So I know there's this massive number over the course of his career, and I know it's hard to bet against Tom Izzo. But I'm going to look at the recency side of it, which includes the fact that they're only 1-2 the last three times they were a lower seed. And I have more faith right now in Mississippi State. Give me Mississippi State straight on the money line plus 100.
Fishizuma Izzo, I say hell to the no. And Evans, clean out the wax in your damn ears.
Number three.
All right, numero tres here on the Fade 5 countdown. I'm going to go with Charleston, man. I love the Cougars here. Plus 9.5 taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide at a minus 110 juice here at BetMGM. Alabama just flopped really down the home stretch. Very unimpressive over the last like month and a half. And here are the numbers to back it up. They're number 87 the last 30 days. Overall, according to Bartorvik, one of the fastest teams in the country. Okay, that could play their advantage because they could tire people out. But they're number 123 EFG offense during that stretch. And number 293 in EFG defense nationally. They're giving up 56.2% inside the arc and over 34% outside of it. A very good second chance team. Really rely on that. A pretty good offensive team. Cutting to the glass and, you know, scoring some of those high percentage shots. But defensively, in terms of packing the paint, they're terrible. In terms of three-point defense, they're god-awful. And that's been a consistency the entire year. And they're playing probably their worst style of basketball the last couple of weeks. Don't count out Charleston just to take this game honestly straight up. They're number 42 in Bart over the last 30 days. They don't mind playing fast. Number 130 in adjusted tempo. Number 40. In those last month-long period, they're an EFG offense. They're shooting over 50% NCAA arc, but here is the kicker, 41.1% from way downtown during that stretch. Decent defensively, number 97 EFGD. They force a lot of turnovers. They're an effective rebounding team, and it's all about those great equalizers. They hit a ton of them. They're going to hang tough in this game. 9.5 points, way too many. So give me Charleston plus those points against Alabama. -110 at BetMGM. Lundy. Fader follow.
I will also follow on this one, and I enjoyed the jaw-dropping total. It sits at 174. That is the total that's in crazy. This game.
Because you're that's talking Alabama about, for you.
But that's also Charleston.
Yeah,
Charleston. True. Charleston pay, within the coastal. Am I right, Brad? It's a CAA.
Yeah,
right?
It used to be the Colonial, and there it's now go. The coastal. I guess Colonials were offended. I had no idea.
Yeah,
I
apparently there were a couple still alive somewhere there in South Carolina, still trying to find a way to defend Fort Sumter. Yeah. Check your history books, folks. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Brad, Charleston was the fastest tempo team in that conference. So you're talking about Bama just being Bama, right? I mean, they scored 100, what was it, 10 times or something this season? So Bama, we know, can hit the century mark, but so can Charleston.
Yeah.
I mean, Charleston was playing at a crazy fast pace as well. So as much as you wanted to slow things down, Jodeci style with Grand Canyon and St. Mary's, this one's going to be the exact opposite. When I saw the total, not that I was surprised, in part because Bama was involved, but I remember just going, holy crap, that is a massive total for a first-round college basketball tournament game. So it might be one where it's just fun to just be like, let's just see if they can hit 175 and sprinkle a bet on the over just because. But I do think Charleston keeps this one close. If I'm not mistaken, the other stat that I was looking at with Bama, I think Bama, in terms of the teams that are in the tournament, in the field of 68, I believe that Alabama averages the most personal fouls per game of any team that made the tournament. I think they're north of 20 team fouls per game, which is a big number, folks. And so I don't know off the top of my head. I haven't looked it up. I don't know where Charleston sits in terms of being able to make their free throws. But if they can hit them from the charity stripe, and Bama's going to keep being whack, 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 and we're doing, you know, hack a shack like Popovich, then if Charleston can make those, not only do I think that leads into that total at 174, but I think it leads into Charleston keeping this one snug.
Oh, another Jodeci reference. Here's one more. Charleston. Scribble the diary of a mad band. Look it up.
Number two.
Numero dos here on the fade. A five countdown. Let's go to a 215 matchup. I'm not calling for an upset. I'm just calling for a cover here. Give me Long Beach State. The LBC. Snoop Dogg, you know, is going to have money on this one with them at plus 21. Going against Arizona at a minus 110 juice there. Available at FanDuel Sportsbook. Just too many points. I don't trust Arizona. You lose on the road to Lundy's Oregon State Beavers. You lose to USC. You got bounced early in the Pac-12 tournament. I have these unsettling feelings about this team. And we have seen historically, Lundy, 24 of the last 26 NCAA tournaments, a number two seed has not survived the first weekend. I think Arizona has the best shot of making that trend tack on. So looking at Long Beach again, I'm not taking them to win. I do like the cover here. They're doing it for Dan Monson. They're playing emotional basketball. Monson gets shit canned right before the Big West tournament. He says, you know what? I'm still coach these guys and see this thing through. And what do? They win an auto berth with him as a lower seed in that exercise. And he's dancing, middle finger extended to the AD in the process. I love every single second of it. And Monson will be on the sidelines barking out orders in this game. Arizona, you know, the advanced analytics are pretty good. Number 58 EFG offense, number 59 EFG defense, number 10 overall bar tournament the last month. Turnovers, though, have been a problem for them. Too many miscues, too many self-inflicted wounds, good rebounding team, a team that can really body up along the perimeter and also drain some of those outside shots. Long Beach, not a good offensive team, but adept defensively. They're only giving up right around 50% inside the arc, right around 34% outside of it, and a pretty good second chance team. You know, usually when you get these monster spreads in these matchups, you're just saying keep it somewhat competitive, keep within 25 with about 2 minutes to go because, you know, Tommy Lloyd is going to get the backups and the walk-ons some tick in the NCAA tournament, and LBC will probably be like, hey, we're just going to keep our guys out there, maybe make a couple of garbage threes, and you go from not winning to, oh, all of a sudden it's a miracle cash. Same development could happen in this one. Give me Long Beach State, plus 21 against Arizona, minus 110 at FanDuel Lundy, my number two play of the West region. Fade or follow?
Too many points. I'm not going to go into much more depth of what you already talked about, other than to say there's another bet in this game that I like if you're looking for another play that you want to do, and that is Long Beach State plus 12 on the first half line.
Oh, interesting.
I like that one. I think this number is too big. Could I see Arizona letting them hang around for a while in the first half? It might actually be that first half play that leads into your plus 21 being able to hit. I really do. So I think 21 is too many. I also like the first half bet. I think Long Beach State can keep this within a dozen within the first 20 minutes. I really do. So I think this is a solid play. I don't trust Arizona either. Again, you lost to the flipping Beavers. Okay. You lost to Oregon State. Bleh. Okay. And that's my school. And I'm still telling you that is hideous, that Arizona allowed that to happen. So I will play this with the points as well. I think it could come down to some garbage time stuff for Long Beach State. It could very well. But you know what I do know over the years, having grown up in Corvallis and all of that? Don't trust the Pac-12 in the tournament. Okay. Yeah. Just don't. It's awful for me as a Pac-12 follower, and obviously now it's going to disintegrate, but it's terrible because the West Coast teams have traditionally been really shitty come tournament time, and they don't live up to their seeding. And so, do I think Long Beach State's going to win the game? No, actually, I don't. If they get some great post play, okay, maybe. You know, if they can score like 40 in the post, maybe they get something done. But beyond that, I don't trust Arizona with this number at all.
Yeah, don't trust it with Arizona. Ride with the beach and soak up some of that vitamin D.
Number one.
Numero uno here on the Fade 5 Countdown. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Breaking out the sledgehammer on Nevada. You want to talk about an entire league that got punked by the selection committee. It was a Mountain West. What the bloody hell? How is Boise State in the first four? How is Colorado State also in the first four? New Mexico got slided, and Nevada did as well, garnering a 10 seed. They're taking on Dayton. Go out there and prove that you're far better than the idiots in that committee room. And I have many problems with the selection committee this year. It's long overdue, Lundy, and this is not remotely a hot take, that committee is overhauled. Sure, you could keep some of the ADs in there, but you need actual bracketology people in there as well, and people who cover the game like a glove on a hand. So they got to have more voices to do it right because there were so many egregious errors. But I digress. Give me the Wolfpack. I'm going to lay the 1.5 against the Dayton Flyers in this one. Yeah, the 10 seed is the favorite in this one over the 7 seed, and for good reason. You look at Dayton, just number 69 in Bartorica the last 30 days. Excellent offensive team because they have Deron Holmes, who has been a top 5 player according to Ken Pom's Player of the Year ratings for much of the season. They're shooting 51.4% inside the arc and 44.7%, absurd outside of it. But defensively, they stink. Number 236 in EFGD. They're giving up 52.6% inside the arc and nearly 35% outside of it. A good team offensively, lousy team defensively. And here is where the rubber really hits the road. Number 315 in turnover percentage offense. So many mistakes that they make. And I think Nevada, which is a well-coached team, will take advantage of that. They're number 19 in Bartorica the last 30 days. They're number 11 in effective field goal percentage offense. They're shooting 45.3% for crying out loud from way downtown. They're a much better defensive team at number 137 EFGD. They get to line. They make you play. They got fantastic guards and Blackshear and Lucas. They have size to compete to try to neutralize Holmes and limit some of those second chances as well. An excellent defensive rebounding team. And Nevada's won away from Reno. They're 8-3 straight up on the road this year. They're only laying 1.5. Take my money, DraftKings, at minus 110. I'm Ryan with the Wolfpack, my number one play in the West region. Lundy, fade or follow?
This was one of my favorite bets when it posted last night. This was one of the ones that I jumped on immediately. Here's the thing for you to know about Dayton. Brad already laid down some stuff when it comes to Nevada, but here's what I would tell you about Dayton. No depth. None. Yeah. They are a top six, and that is it on their roster. I'm telling you, they are so they do not have any depth to be able to help them out. Go look at them statistically. Go look at the fact that there are six dudes that average double figure minutes per game, and that's it. That's it. Once you start going down their roster, you start getting to dudes that only average like 7.5 minutes, 6.5 minutes. They're basically giving the starters a breather, and then they're done. That's all they are doing. And so because of that, not only do I think that Nevada can wear them down, but if the Wolfpack are smart, get a couple of guys to get a couple of early fouls, Dayton will be screwed because they don't have any help on their depth. Okay, they don't have bench help. It's the same problem when we get to the point when Brad and I get to the point where we are talking about Kansas later on this week in the pod. Yep. It's going to be the same problem with the Jayhawks. As much as I love them, as much as my wife loves them, and I want to see them win for the sake of sanity within the walls of my home, Kansas is running into the same problem. They are way too top heavy. And they rely so heavily on those starters. And Dayton is in the same boat. I think Nevada wins this one by a half a dozen or more by the time it is all done. I think the fact that you are getting Nevada -1.5 is an absolute gift. And going back to the start of your little tirade, the committee has its head in its ass. It is time for them to revamp the way they do the teams, because they are consistently missing out. They're missing on their seedings. Frankly, they're missing when it comes to East Coast versus West Coast. It's a problem, and they need to figure out a solution, and they need to figure it out now.
Yep, totally agree with you. All right, it's bonus time, Lundy. We got a couple of games still on the cutting room floor we didn't get to. I'll just go ahead and tee it off here. You can feed or follow some of the action here. I'm going to lay the chalk with New Mexico. Again, it's like a revenge tour for the Mountain West Conference. And Clemson's just, they don't excite me. They're a team that really slows you down. If you can neutralize in some form or fashion, that was a real chore to do so. PJ Hall, you're going to win. I love the backcourt 1-2 punch at Jalen House and Jamal Mashburn Jr. Here's the kicker about the Lobos. They're number 33 in EFGD over the last 30 days. Just a much better team kind of across the board. Where you stand on Clemson, New Mexico, the Lobos laying 2.5. And again, I'm taking that chalk.
Well, I think there's something to be said for this idea of a Mountain West revenge tour. I don't think you're that far off when it comes to the idea of the Mountain West. That said, I also think you got to be a little bit careful putting too much weight into that, right?
Yeah, I do.
I think you got to be careful doing some of that because I do think the Mountain West got hosed. And in particular, I think Colorado State. I think Colorado State got absolutely jobbed by the committee. I don't think you can take a team that at one point was number 13 in the nation this year and then put them in a play-in game. That to me is a joke. They completely hosed the Rams. So I think they screwed it up. I don't want to put a ton of weight into it. It's the same thing that we've seen before. Like when we get to the point of talking about, this Virginia squad that, you know, we were like, what the hell are the Hoos doing in this tournament to begin with? And blah, blah, blah. We've seen teams that we didn't think deserved to be there that all of a sudden go on a run in these play-in games because they take advantage of it. So we could see something like that. I like the idea of New Mexico covering. And beyond that, Brad, in terms of bonus time when it comes to the West, I kind of, you know, already used up my argument when I talked about the fact that you can get UNC at 3-1 odds. I just think there's value there. I know you like Baylor and I know you like the 8-1. I just think there's value on UNC. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you decide as a bettor, you want to put a little bit on North Carolina and a little bit on Baylor and just assume it's going to be one of those two teams that comes out of here. Because if you do a bet on both of them, you're going to come out ahead. Between 3-1 and 8-1, folks, do the math. You're going to come out ahead if you believe it's one of those two teams.
Yeah, two last points. I'll lay the chalk with Baylor. 9 out of 10 dentists are disagreeing with me on this against Colgate. That number sitting at -13.5. And I also like Nevada to make the Sweet 16 at +475. at BetMGM. Again, 24 last 26 tournaments, a two seed has not survived the first weekend this year. I think the odds are really stacked against Arizona. All right, I am out of breath. We are out of time here on the Feed 5 podcast. Do me a favor, sign up for a free account right now and check out all the content I'm cranking out. And Lundy's too, all hockey all the time for him at thegamingjuice.com. It's free for crying out loud, people. Also, drop us a ring and a review at your convenience. Fade or follow us on the X or Twitter, me at Noisy Huevos and Lundy at Nate Lundy. For the gorgeous and drop-dead handsome Nathaniel Lundy, I'm Brad Evans. Until next time, as always, feed or follow. That is up to you.